But we were sharing on Sunday that, another date that's just almost upon us. This is September 7th, but in a few days, on September 11th, actually, it will be this Sunday, will be the anniversary of that day in New York City where the World Trade Centers were destroyed. And so that day is a day where we honor those that gave their lives to save others. And so a lot of times we see little mottos or we see little mantras that are put up or signs that are put up. We will never forget. And so it's something that I wasn't really thinking about it, when the Lord spoke this phrase in my heart. He said, "He will never forget." And he was reminding me to share a few lessons along this line. And so as I was coming in, I saw those signs and I said, "Wow, we say we will never forget. But we do forget. And sometimes even these painful types of memorials and things that we remember, we over time, men forget, people forget. And sometimes the pain of that event diminishes, and sometimes even the significance of that date or that memorial even begins to wane, you know what I mean? It doesn't have the same impact. But he, God, never forgets, and he never forgets us. He is faithful. God is faithful. And wanted to just share again along these lines that this word faithful in the Strong's Concordance, this definition of faithful, it says of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties worthy of trust. So, we like to accord that kind of that we like to accord that to individuals and say you are faithful. Well, when you say faithful, that means you adhere to some promises. So that means you can just look up in society, people aren't faithful to their promises to a husband and wife. They for whatever reason, they're not faithful to that. I think about my parents, they were faithful to each other for over 60 plus years, 65, 66 years. My father went home to be with the Lord, and my mother, who's still alive. But they were faithful, that example of faithfulness to each other. Were they perfect? No. But they were faithful to their promise to each other when they exchanged vows. And so that faithfulness we see lacking in society. People aren't faithful on their jobs. They just not. And when we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, we were sharing this on Sunday, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and starting in verse 3 in the New Living Translation, it says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money." See, this is Paul, and this is Paul writing here. It says here, "They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and what? Ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And it goes on. What do we see? Unfaithfulness. They further away from God. You know, the further we get away from God in a society, we can look at Matthew chapter 12 in the Passion Translation. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, 13 and 14 in the Passion Translation. This is what happens when you get away further away from God. There's more sin and lawlessness. And that's just exactly what Jesus spoke in Matthew 24. He said, there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will do what? Grow cold. But keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of God, of heaven's kingdom, will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after this, the end of this age will arrive. And Jesus was saying, we need to keep our hearts tender, that they don't grow cold towards him or people, because it's going to be the love of God that reaches people. Jesus was what? A reflection, a demonstration of God, his Father. And people began to see the nature of God. How? Through Jesus. And so if we get caught up in these things in this earth, and we get caught up with, you know, all of the distractions. You know, there's many distractions. You've got political distractions. You've got racial distractions. You've got money distractions. You've got all kinds of distractions that if you don't go back and remind yourself in the Word of God that God loves people and he loves you, and he loves, again, he died for everyone. But if we don't keep our hearts tender before him and in fellowship with him, we can grow cold and hard and harsh. And it'll be a hard walk for us. So we need to remind ourselves, and that's what we're doing here, is to take time to just remind ourselves of God's love for us, his love for people, his faithfulness. That means if he said it, it has to come to pass. His word is forever settled in heaven. But I wanted to look at Psalm 89:34 in the New International Version. And it says, I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. In other words, he's faithful. What did we just get done sharing about faithfulness? In other words, he's faithful to the execution of commands or the discharge of official duties. He watches over his word to perform it. Jeremiah 1:12. He watches over it. It shall not, Isaiah 55, it shall not return unto him void, but shall accomplish that which he pleases. So God is faithful. He's faithful to see to it that his word shall come to pass. We were reading a scripture on Sunday. I'm just reviewing a little bit, but Psalm 37 and verse 5, in the Passion Translation, Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, give God the right to direct your life. This is powerful here. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust him along the way, you will find he pulled it off perfectly. This is what we're talking about. Yield our hearts. Keep them tender before God. Allow him to direct you. What does that mean? That means allowing him to prune us. You know, let's turn over. I know we don't have this in my notes here, but this thought in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, and let's take a look at starting in verse 1, and let's look at the first couple of verses. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? He purgeth it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. And it says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So God expects, he wants us to stay what? Close to him, connected to the vine. What does that mean? We have fellowship with him. We don't let our hearts grow cold. So in other words, it says here, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he does what? He purges it. You know, if you've ever been around farmers or people that are in that kind of business, what do? They prune trees so that they what? They have more branches. They bear more fruit. And the same with us. If there's an area of our life that's not satisfactory, God will begin to say, look, you need to change that. You need to fix that. What? So that we can not hinder the flow of compassion and love that he wants to operate in and through us. So he's a faithful God. That's what we're really trying to say here. He's faithful. He is sure. And God will see to it that if we let him work in our lives, he'll bring it to pass perfectly. He'll bring us to a place, oh, what are we saying? As it says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So we're going to reach a place as we stay in fellowship with God that he will begin to prune us. He will begin to bring us to a place of maturity. And as we stay in fellowship with him, we'll see something. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. He nudges us to change things in our life so that what? We make a choice. We make a heartfelt choice, and we all do. We say, you know what? That's not right. I'm going to fix that. I make a quality decision to make that change. And you may miss it a little bit, but you've made a heart decision to change course, to begin to move. You know, just like when it says in James, and it talks about the rudder in a ship, it says, how does that ship change direction? It says that it begins, the rudder begins to change direction. So what? The ship doesn't do a complete 180. It begins to turn, slowly turn. Well, that's the same way with us. We begin to change and we slowly begin to move in what? God's direction. In those directions that he wants us to move in. So God, let's just take a look in a few more scriptures here. We're going to add to it this evening. But in the Amplified Classic of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, God is faithful. And then the Amplified expands. It says, he's reliable. He's trustworthy. and therefore ever true to his promise. He can be depended on. This is what we're talking about tonight. God is faithful. He can be depended on. By him, you were called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then chapter 10, in verse 13, in the New Living Translation, it talks about, again, God is faithful. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. In the New Living, it says the temptations. See, this is why it's good to let God, what have we got done reading in Psalm 37? Let God direct your life. Let him have access to you, right? And this is what it says. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not, what? Allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. It didn't say that you wouldn't, that he will make you choose the right way. He'll show you a way to endure and to make the right choice. He'll show you a way out, but then it's your choice then to choose that or not. So God, he doesn't make you do anything. He leaves that up to us. He's made us in what? His image and likeness. So with this, when we're faced with temptations in life, what does it say? God is faithful, who will not what? Allow that temptation to be greater than you can stand or more than you can stand. He will show you a way out, but you've got to stay in fellowship with him. And the more you do, the more you will experience his faithfulness. He'll remind you, number one, from his word, and his word will produce what? Faith or confidence, or in other words, assurance that he's faithful, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he'll show you a way out. He'll show you a way through and around this temptation that you're facing. So one thing I wanted to add to this evening is adding to what we were sharing on Sunday, and looking at the New Living Translation, talking about this theme of God's faithfulness and he will never forget. But Isaiah chapter 49 and verses 13, 14, and 15 in the New Living Translation, I like this. I was going to read this Sunday, but I didn't. It says, "Sing for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their suffering. Yet Jerusalem says, 'The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us.'" And look what the Lord's response is to that statement in verse 15. "Never," with an exclamation point. "Can a mother forget her nursing child?" He's talking about how Jerusalem is like a child to him. So he's saying, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? "But even if it were possible, I would not forget you." So God is saying through his word, even if it was ever possible, he wouldn't forget. He will never forget you. He will not forget what you're walking through. He will not forget the prayers that have gone forth. You know, when I think about those things, that's why sometimes for me, God has just put it in my heart. It's something that is, you know, I use the term lodged or stuck, or it's there. I just am reminded of the prophecies spoken to the founders of this ministry and the words that were released to them. Now, there were many that were personal to them, but then there were some that were prophecies that were given to them about this ministry. Some of them, they saw them come to pass, but there were a lot that didn't come to pass, and they're now in heaven. So some may say, well, I guess, you know, that's it. Well, God will never forget. And it's up to us to grab hold of those things that have been spoken. His word will not come back to him void. Isaiah 55, he said, that like the rain that cometh to the earth and returneth not thither, he said, my words will be like that. They won't return void, but shall accomplish that which I please. So it's important that when we see God's word, that we take it to heart. Whether it's in his word or it's a word given to us, that we need to take that hold of that and don't forget it. And sometimes things take time. You know, we were hearing Pastor Enrique teach a few weeks ago on the process. You know, there's a process involved where things are concerned, where God is concerned. Some things happen quickly, and some things take time. And so those things that Pastor Sarah and Clinton did not see come to pass in their lifetime doesn't mean that God has forgotten and that they will not come to pass. So we take hold of those and rejoice that they shall come to pass. And if he tarries and we go to heaven, well, someone else will pick up the baton. Someone will pick up the baton and fulfill and carry that out. But let's take a quick look at the Passion Translation, starting in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 3 in the Passion Translation. Romans chapter 3, and looking at the first four verses, it gives us, again, it gives us a picture of God's faithfulness. And this says here, so then what is the importance of circumcision? And what advantage is there of being a Jew? Actually, there are numerous advantages. Most important, God distinguished the Jews from all other people by entrusting them with the revelation of his prophetic promises. But what if some were unfaithful to their divine calling? Does their unbelief weaken God's faithfulness? Absolutely not. God will always be proven faithful and true to his word. While people are proven to be liars, this will fulfill what was written in the scriptures. Your words will always be vindicated, and you will rise victorious when you are being tried by your critics. So this is saying God will always be proven faithful and true to his word, while people are proven to be liars. So we need to remind ourselves that no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, we're not moved by them. We're only moved by the word of God. That's why I like when Brother Hagin had that saying, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, me believing doesn't settle his word. It's already settled in heaven. What's settled is me. God said it, I believe it, and as far as I'm concerned, that settles it. I believe it. It's settled. And so we need to settle within ourselves, if God said it, and I believe it, It has to come to pass. So for us, you know, when there's things that are in the Word of God that we can land on and we can decide to believe it, and that settles it. What are those things? I'm going to get to that, but let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 in the New International Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this is God's word. So no matter how you feel, no matter how you think, God made him to be sin for us. And as the King James says, who knew no sin? He didn't know sin. He was sinless. And he was made to be sin that what? We might become the righteousness of God. So that means that you are, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, you are right before God. You are the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. And that's settled regardless of how you feel. And let's look at the New Living Translation of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. See, these are, to me, are redemptive and redemptive realities, and God is faithful to his word to see to it that it's executed and comes to pass. But in Hebrews 9:12, it says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. That's why it's so important when we sing songs like, I am redeemed, I am redeemed. You're redeemed what? Now and forever. Why? He looks over at the blood and he's reminded he will never forget that he made his son sin with our sins for us. He will never forget that. He looks at the blood. And he will look at that and say, as the scripture says, that he entered into the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption. So we are redeemed and it's settled. And he'll never forget. He'll never forget. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, the first few verses, in starting in verse 3, in the Passion Translation. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3 in the Passion, and we'll look down through verses 8. And this is just, again, a reality. And it says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. You could say our wonderful, faithful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Man, I'm telling you, This is why it's important, and I'm going to continue with verse 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. But sometimes I just have to stop and just want to shout, because so often the world wants to show you how stained you are and how you've missed it. But this says here, because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Wow. No condemnation in Christ. Starting in verse 5 and 6, it says, "For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace for the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us." Wow. So there's no difference. The same love he has for Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Verse 7, "Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace." Verse 8, "This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding." That's why it's so important to read the Word of God, because sometimes we're asking for God to give us something that's already within us. The treasures and riches of heaven have been deposited in us, and we need to just thank Him that the wisdom of God is working in us. Thank Him that the healing power of God is working in us. And these things, as it says, this great plan gives Him what? Much pleasure. This unfolding plan. So just wanted to take time and remind us of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And as we let Him direct us, as we let Him prune us, we'll look up and He will do His perfect plan within us perfectly. And we need to just remind ourselves in this climate that we live, that and we're surrounded by, that God is faithful. And He loves us, He loves people, and He loves them regardless of how they're acting and how they're conducting themselves. He still loves them. Yes, He desires for them to change. He desires them to yield their hearts to Him and ask them into their hearts and to let Him direct their lives. But that's their choice. And He still loves them. And His wonderful love and His faithfulness is ever looking and trying to, you know, as the Scripture says, that He looks out into this earth and He looks for those whose hearts are yielded to Him. And so just again wanted to remind us of how good God is and how loving He is to us. And no matter how great the pressures in life can be, it's good to just stop and thank Him and say, "Father, I thank You. I know that You love me. You're showing me a way through this temptation, this trial, this situation, and I'm going to be better when I come out on the other side, and I know that You're going to work in me and through me." And God is good, and He does not forget. He will never forget or loosen His grip upon you. And so let's thank God and praise God for His goodness. Thank Him for His precious blood that has cleansed us. and for all of the spiritual blessings that he has lavished upon us. And we thank him for it and give him praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, before we receive our offering this evening, if you happen to be watching this evening and maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus, and maybe you know of him, but you haven't actually made a decision to ask him into your heart, or maybe you have, and maybe you've strayed away, and maybe you need to just correct some things. God is there, ever willing to forgive us. He said if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. And so, in 1 John chapter 1 and 9, but also, he said, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And that word saved, that Greek word is sozo. It just means delivered, delivered from destruction. It means healed. It means to be prosper. And so let's say this simple prayer as we close. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to confess you as Lord. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he is Lord. He took our sins, and I believe he took my sins, and he took them to hell. And then when sin was paid for, you raised him from the dead. And I believe that I am cleansed now by his blood, his precious blood. And I believe, Father, that he is making something new of me, and he's making me a brand new and made me brand new. And I confess with my mouth that I will serve him the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that simple prayer and you don't ever remember doing that, or maybe you did and you just wanted to rededicate your life and correct some things, then just get in touch with us, contact us, and we will certainly send you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. Praise God.